So first of all, Michael Lezak, welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Great to hear your voice.
It's good. It's good. So my first question I usually ask people is, do you have a joke you can tell?
The Resistance Bible Study.
The Resistance Bible Study Podcast.
Join me. Engage. Resist. This is Rabbi Brian in post-production. Michael Lezak, to whom I'm speaking, he's a rabbi. And I didn't say that. I didn't say Rabbi Michael Lezak. And I felt a little bad about that. But you'll hear, he and I were in seminary together. Welcome to the podcast.
You have a joke at the ready?
I can tell. I don't, you know, my brain doesn't work that way. I don't retain jokes like that. But I can point you to my father-in-law, who always has them at the ready.
No, it's all right. It's all right. I'll give you one that I just
saw this morning. I want to hear it.
I had a racing snail, and I took its shell off to make it faster, but it only made it more sluggish.
Well, that's good, dude. That's good. That's good. So, I like that.
So I like to be loose when I ask the first official question, which is, what is the Bible in a sentence or two?
What is the Bible in a sentence or two? Collected, inherited wisdom through the ages, passed from down through specific communities, I would say, depending on which Bible you're talking about. But
right, think about that part right there is interesting, is which Bible?
Yeah.
So help people, because people are kind of under the assumption that this is a monolith.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm a rabbi. I work at a foundation and a church. I spent 5 years in rabbinical school, some of it with you. We went deeply into the study of Torah and Jewish texts and commentary around Torah. I now work at a church here in San Francisco. I teach in a church once every 6 or 8 weeks or so, and I'm often quoting texts from the Tanakh.
All right, Tanakh. That's a Hebrew word. It's Tuh from Torah, N from Nevi'im, meaning prophets, and Ch from Kituvim, meaning the writing. So Tanakh, that's what Jews call all of our Bible.
As a way, not an effort to convert anyone, but to bring the collective wisdom of the Jewish Bible to people. And I'm often bringing texts to me that might be particular in texts from the Hebrew Bible, but that often have universal applicability and wisdom.
You're telling people about the Bible. It's the source book, right? It's what we all go back to, or not all of us, but a lot of our culture.
Yeah, it's a place in which I think to plant our soul and to find inspiration and community and direction.
Now, in our tradition, we say that this was given by God to Moses, and from Moses it was passed down. Can you help people make sense of that kind of phrase? I mean, do you believe literally Moses got every word of the Bible all the way up?
If I was with you face to face, I would give you a wink and say yes. But I don't believe it literally. I believe that there is God in the text, and that there's deep wisdom there, and there's often some very painful texts too that sometimes send people running away from tradition and running for the hills.
I appreciate the audio wink. That's very nice.
Yes. Never been attempted before.
You're listening to the Resistance Bible Study Podcast. This is episode 12, and depending on how you're listening to it, this might be the first one you're listening to or the last. I'm going to encourage you to go to rotb.org. That's Religion Outside the Box. Religion Outside the Box is what brings you the Resistance Bible Study Podcast. If you like it, please go to rotb.org, shop around, make some purchases, make a donation, help support this so we can do season two, another 12 episodes of me talking to people about the Bible, what it is, and how we as the middle to the left can reclaim this scripture, because the people who are holding on to scripture as a moral authority are doing it often wrong. Also, rotb.org/resist. If you put the word resist into the coupon box, you can get $10 off any download. And there are a lot of downloads there, only $7. So you make $3 on the deal. Thank you. This is Rabbi Brian, post-production. back to my interview with Rabbi Michael Lizak.
What is a part of the Bible that you see as misinterpreted often? What is something that it can be a story or just an idea about the Bible? What is something that you just see people are like, no?
I'm literally walking from Glide onto Market Street in San Francisco, where every year, I don't know, for at least the past 20, if not 30 years, Glide and hundreds of thousands of people have marched on Market Street for gay rights and the Gay Pride Parade. And I'm thinking about texts that that people have used as ammunition to bring a sense of real hate towards people who are LGBTQ. You know, as I said earlier, like there are texts that are scary, that are intense, and Jewishly, don't read them literally. No, and think about try to my wife Noah says, use your anger at the text rather than to run away from it, but to run into it.
And how do you personally deal with? I mean, let's say you're on Market Street, you're walking, and there's somebody on the sideline with a big placard that says, "No, you know, God hates fags." I mean, how do you deal with?
Yeah.
How do you deal with somebody who's looking at this text that you see, and you see it really differently?
Yeah, I don't always deal directly with that person. I try to build systems and a loving connections and a community of unconditional love that really loves people where they're at. And so to me, it's about the question is like, is the ground fertile to grow something meaningful and real and enduring? And I think sometimes when people are dug in on a street corner, it might not be the time to do that. I think I would love, in my ideal world, would invite that person into Glide to serve a meal with me, or to give out a harm reduction kit to someone who is struggling with addiction, and to help them see a human being created in the image of God who is struggling in one way or another. But on the LGBTQ end, I don't see that a struggle at all. I think that's how God created them.
So
how do we take text?
I've talked with people about, you know, Genesis 1, you know, the first story of creation where God creates humanity, female and male, in God's image at the same time. That it's very clear that God is female and male both from the way I can't read the text any other way.
Yeah, no, undoubtedly. And I think about our teacher, Eugene Borowitz, who used to tell us to go sit in a New York City subway car and to look at everyone in that car, be it the power businesswoman or the male supermodel or the homeless person look around that subway car, and you look at each person and you say, Tzelem Elohim, image of God.
Yeah.
And if you add them up, right, that's God, human being. And who am I to judge someone who's got different skin color than me or less or more privilege or is attracted to people in different ways? Who am I to bring that judgment? And when I do, I diminish God's presence in the world.
Amen. 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 I had to do the shout out here. Amen. Help me out, Original Sin. It got kind of tossed around in an earlier one of these podcasts. Give me Judaism and Original Sin, because help me out.
I have never thought about that question before.
That's perfect.
What's your read on it?
Well, no, that's perfect. It's Original Sin. I did some research. It was St. Augustine in the 3rd century came up with this idea, but the text itself doesn't talk about that there's any original sin that any of us are.
Yeah.
All right, I looked. It was St. Augustine, but it really only became formalized as part of the Roman Catholic doctrine by the Councils of Trent in the 16th century. That's when it became a thing that we all know about today.
Wrong, yeah. And it goes right. The reason I asked was it comes right off of what you were just saying about the image of God. Is how can we be the image of God and sinful?
Yeah, I think we're flawed. We are not God. We each have our own challenges.
Yeah,
and I think and some of us are more capable than others of repairing and engaging those challenges. You know, I deal with people at Glide all the time who have serious challenges with mental illness.
Yeah.
And we're living in a society that we've not built hospitals for them to be safe. So So we find them on the streets, looking for meals, find them in our prisons, right? And our, you know, so I think our job in this broken world is to build systems that love people exactly where they're at, and reliable systems.
This is a good religious person on the streets helping where help is needed. Resistance Bible Study Podcast. We encourage people to build a better world.
Next question. Is there something about the Bible that people don't know about, like a hidden facet or a story that not a lot of people know about that you kind of wish people knew about?
I love the idea, the idea of interpreting text, of not reading it literally. And I'm thinking about, on Genesis 18, when right after God visits, right after Abraham circumcises himself and all the men in his house. There's a line that says that God showed up.
Right? Literally, and God is there.
Literally. And so the rabbis took this idea and said, well, that is God showing up to visit the sick. And so they said there's something holy about visiting people who are sick.
Correct.
Excuse me, I'm walking past the hotel now where people are striking outside. So that's the noise in the background.
Okay.
Right? So I think about what is holy about visiting people who are sick. And then they extrapolated upon that further. They said, when we visit people who are sick, we take away 1/60th of their illness.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe literally that we take away 1/60th of people's illness. I know the power I have of me being visited or visiting other people. And I think there's something profoundly and transformationally holy about that. So I love this idea of not just looking at text like, and God appeared, but when did God appear? How did God appear? And how does that apply to my life in 2018?
It doesn't matter literally God appeared. It doesn't matter literally God, Abraham was 90 years old when he circumcised himself. That's not the point.
Yeah, what's the context and how might that apply to my life?
This is Rabbi Brian in post-production again. It doesn't matter if it's not the truth of the story, it's the moral of the story. I don't care if it's based in the Bible or not. Visiting the sick, taking care of the people who need care, that's what this is all about.
Rabbi Michael Lezak, last question. You get a soapbox to stand on. You stand on the soapbox and you can tell the people listening whatever it is you have in your heart that you get your soapbox, you get your preaching moment. What's the sermon you
love
that. Do?
I'll say this. We took 85 people from Glide and from my wife's congregation, The Kitchen, to Montgomery, Alabama, to the opening of the Legacy Museum.
Yes.
Which tells a story from slavery to mass incarceration today. And the National Memorial for Peace and Justice, which is a memorial to the 4,400 known victims of lynching in America.
Yeah.
We brought people across lines of race and class and religion. We've raised money to bring 25 GLAAD staff members, many of whom came out of incarceration. It was one of the most transformational things I've ever done. We're going back in February. I believe in the language they use in Alabama is a language of truth, justice, and reconciliation.
Correct.
And I hold on to that language is the ideal way that we're going to heal this broken country of ours.
Amen.
To be able to speak truth about our pain, to think about justice and how we help people heal, and then what might reconciliation look like?
Right. It sounds like the call of the prophet Micah: love justice,
yeah. Amen.
Mercy,
yeah.
And walk
Amen.
Humbly with your God.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Absolutely. Amen, brother. Well, you are in San Francisco. I thank you for taking the time.
You are so welcome. I'm grateful for all the holy work you're doing.
Thank you, brother.
The Resistance Bible Study.
The Resistance Bible Study.
The Resistance Bible Study Podcast.
Join me. Engage. Resist. Rabbi Brian here in post-production. Glad you're listening. I love this program. I love this program. And gosh, I'm going to sound like every public television appeal, but this program only happens because it's supported. You can buy something off the Religion Outside the Box website,
type in resist in the coupon box and you get $7 off a download, $10 off a download. Most downloads are $7. But that's really there just to entice you to buy things so that you can support this work or make a flat out contribution, because your contribution enables this program to happen. Simple as that. I thank you kindly for your time, for your attention, for telling your friends, for doing this good work.